Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Can you hear me? Loud and clear. I'll try not to scream and break your eardrums. Yes, I did. Thank you very much. I just shut the sound down. Lord, bring Tanya to church this evening. Oh, there she is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for those who came out on this very wet evening. Father, we pray for those who have suffered great loss in the hurricane in the Gulf Coast region and elsewhere. And Father, that some of them would call upon you, cry out to you, for where else can they go when things like this happen? Except to the one who causes them and the one that can make sense out of everything. That is our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, by these events, may many believe in Jesus Christ for the free and irrevocable gift of eternal salvation. For that is your purpose in all things, that you might be merciful to as many as possible, and as many as possible might be saved by any means which is necessary, because there's such a frightening outcome for those who do not believe, and knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Father, you've spared no means in doing what is needed and necessary in the lives of men, individuals, to bring them to your Son, to bring them to yourself. We just thank you for these things. Bless the word of God as it goes forth this evening for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray, amen. Without a vision, the people perish. Did you know that? If you don't have a vision, you're not going to make it. You're not going to get very far. You're not going to go anywhere. You're going to live and die and not go anywhere, not have anything, not have any real purpose, meaning, or definition in your life. And so that's just my introductory comment. It's Without a Vision Tuesday, August 31st. I want to make a couple of announcements before we get started. This Thursday evening at 7:30 here at the church. See Judy on there? She's looking at you. It's our 12th annual ladies seminar entitled Weaker Vessel, 1 Peter 3:7. So don't miss that, please. And finally, as I mentioned on Sunday, we worked out a deal with our kind landlord to carpet the larger rear suite where we will hold our meetings once it's complete. We're doing this because we believe that God will fill this place with hungry believers and will bring lots of children to our Sunday school program. But this will occur on Thursday and Friday of this week. And we just pray that there won't be any interference with Judy's seminar, the first night of the seminar, and the first night of the husbands and men having wonderful pizza party while they're in here listening to Judy. And so remember that also. And so we also will be doing another move, because we're going to move the stuff that we put in here, that we piled in here, into here. And Angela, I talked with her, and she's going to come, and we're going to set up a time where she can reset her room and get her stuff back where she wants it, so we can continue with the Sunday school and be ready for the Sunday school. And so that's it for our announcements. It is finished. You said, how many times can we say that? Well, not too often, not often enough. It is finished. In Ephesians 2:10, we have the ongoing work. It is finished, but we have the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, who chips and chisels us inwardly and through the plan of God into the image of Christ, in order that we might walk around as he did, be body parts of his upon the earth, 1 John 2:6. If anyone alleges that he abides in him, that one ought to walk around as he did, that is, by means of the Spirit, and living by every word of God, John 3:34. He is a spirit without limitation, ukmetron. Matthew 4:4. He lived by every word that proceeds from the lovely and beautiful lips of God, and he was God. He was the Word of God. Jesus Christ was the Word of God. Ho logos tou theou, the very Word of God himself, who was with the Father, who was with God and was God from all eternity, who created everything, spoke it all into existence, ex nihilo, out of nothing. It's wonderful. Terry's studying Genesis. I said, nowhere else are you going to find that story except in Genesis. In the beginning, Elohim. That's the plural noun and name for God, contemplating God in his triunity. Created the heavens and the earth. And the earth became formless and void. Was judged by God because of illegal satanic activity upon the earth. And I won't get into that this evening, but that's what it's about. And so all of these things are important things so we can really understand what God's doing in the times that we live in. And I don't know if you're like me, but I assume that in many ways you are, and you think the same things I think because we've studied the same word and we have the same doctrine in our souls, that these are the last times. Things are winding down very quickly. And it's important that we understand the times that we live in and then live in accordance with those things and to do what is necessary and appropriate with the time that we have left upon the earth. And like Jesus did in the days of his humanity, maybe not even speaking or acting apart from the direction and permission of God. But that's a subject for another time. Habakkuk 2:3. Turn there. You know where Habakkuk is in the Old Testament? Habakkuk. You'll find it. I'll give you a second to find it. Toward the end of the Old Testament. It's about a vision. Without a vision of Christ. Redemptive revelation of God. The people perish, are unrestrained, which means that their lives are go haywire. It's almost like they're completely out of control. They can't find or fix anything that needs found or fixed. Habakkuk 2:3 says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time." He's looking on to the end of history where the Jews are concerned. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. It will come about. Though it tarries, you must wait for it. For it will certainly come, and it will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, now he's talking about anyone who's proud, but he's also directly referring to the one who's coming at the end, who is the proud one, the son of disobedience or perdition, the who we call the Antichrist. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous one, that's Jesus Christ ultimately, but everyone who belongs to him also, who has righteousness imputed to faith, will live, that word live is loaded, by his faith. Without a vision, the people perish. That is, they become disinterested, bored, and unrestrained. That's Proverbs 29:18. The world is being prepared for the Antichrist. Therefore, everything you see and hear will become more and more Antichrist. That means against Christ. There was a time not too long ago when the things of God were, at least to some degree, respected and even promoted. A good example is the preaching of Billy Graham. God made Billy like a rock star. I've listened to dozens of his sermons, and they are all wonderful. Everybody from presidents, kings, world rulers, and leaders listened to Billy, and millions responded to his gospel preaching. Oh, I can tell you this, this isn't happening today. Not only is there not a world-renowned preacher like Billy, but not one in 10,000 believers is interested in the word of truth, the truth of the mystery, or any advanced learning. You say, how do you know that? Well, we know that. We know that's true. The Bible tells us it's true in the last days. Of course, we're told of old that this would be so. So we should know and expect to see these trends begin to emerge. And we're witnessing what has been declared from ancient times, that in the end there will be heavy demonic influence, just like the days of Noah. That's Luke 17:26 and 1 Peter 3:20. There will be a great cooling off, followed by a great falling away. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering to him, together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. There was a false letter written and sent and forged saying that the Lord had come, and they claimed Paul wrote it and he didn't. Here he's disclaiming that. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy, falling away, comes first. Those who lead the apostasy, we're told, will be formerly sound and popular Bible teachers, well-known teachers, who are seduced and led astray and end up teaching heresies. Peter calls them damnable heresies. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit speaks in no uncertain terms that in later times some notable ones, that's what it means, tis, T-I-S, some notable ones will fall away from the faith, giving heed to deceitful spirits. Wandering spirits is actually what they are. Planao, wandering. They wander around like planets. They're in orbit. And the doctrines taught by demon spirits, by means of the hypocrisy of liars. None of that sounds too good, does it? They're seared in their conscience. That means their conscience is desensitized, seared with a hot iron. Scar tissue is built up, and they can't feel or sense anything that's real or right or spiritual, and it doesn't bother them at all anymore. As with a branding iron. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That's a good servant tonight because I'm pointing these things out to my congregation. Constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine, which indeed you've been following. Even Peter, or Rocky as I like to call him, because that's what his name means. Cephas means Rocky. Rocky. You can call him Rocky. I think that really makes it very relevant if we call Peter Rocky. I call him Peter, but his name means Rocky. He is a rock, a stone, chip of stone. Even Peter Rocky, as I like to call him, that is the Sylvester Stallone of the early church. I recently watched an interview with Rocky, Sylvester Stallone, and Pat Robertson. He interviewed him, actually, on the 700 Club about the Rocky movies. I guess this was at the height of the Rocky movies. It's an old, very old interview. Anyway, that's why I call him Rocky, and that's the Christian connection for Rocky. Anyway, Peter prophesied of these same things, even as Paul did in his epistles, the pastoral epistles of 1st and 2nd Timothy. In 2 Peter 2:1, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be also false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. These things are happening right before our eyes, even within our own church movement, our own church circles. And the effect is being seen even among our own people. As the virus spreads, I'm not talking about the coronavirus or COVID-19. As the virus spreads and those who catch it manifest the respiratory distress, that is, the inability to inhale and exhale the God-breathed word. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. And they also lose their olfactory sense, the sense of smell and taste, and begin to fade away. To these I say, hurry up and get the shot of faith. Catch the vision of the finished work, Christ, and your wellness and favor with God in Jesus Christ as an indispensable member of his church, his mystical body, the church, will return. You'll be fine. It hurts to watch formerly fervent and enthusiastic believers become distant and aloof. And you know who you are. I don't have to tell you. To you I say, stop, drop, and roll, quick, before it's too late. The reason this happens is twofold. The events of the world and the images seen on the news chip away at the biblical worldview, and because more time is spent looking at and listening to news and political commentary, the frame of reference is diluted and then polluted with information and images that becloud the Word of God, which slowly but surely becomes only secondary. See, you are what you behold. Secondly, because iniquity and violence proliferates, we're told the love of many grows cold. Believers turn on each other over petty things instead of rallying around Christ and the wonderful things that we share in Christ, the things we share in common. Because there is so little appreciation and acceptance of biblical truth, and no one likes to be a pariah, many cave in and are drawn to more popular pursuits and other organizations and more interesting and entertaining things. We've had enough of this church thing. We need something else that's a little better, a little bit more fun and entertaining. They spend more and more time having a good time on Facebook and little to no time with their face in the good book. They have a good time on Facebook rather than having their face in the good book. Good book, Facebook, good book, Facebook. Redeeming the time. Here they find great enjoyment, exchanging ideas, and finding acceptance in an atmosphere of mutual admiration among friends and family members. In our Habakkuk passage, it says, his soul is not right within him who finds he or she has been snared and caught in the web. That's the WWW, World Wide Web, perhaps. You say, you're not going to say this again, are you? Yes, I am, because evidently you didn't hear me. Some in the sound of my voice haven't heard me. And perhaps you don't like what when I say those things, and I don't care if you like it or not. Tough. I love you and will risk being hated for doing it. Granted, some use it well and wisely. Just make sure you're one of those. And don't invite me to follow you on Twitter. You say, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. I'm not going to follow you on Twitter or anywhere else. Rather, please answer the invitation of Jesus Christ to follow him. Follow him. You said, is that even real or relevant? It certainly is. Those who follow him will be led in peace to abundant life on earth. And in the end, every heavenly delight. You have to have a vision or you'll perish. An earthly life of meaning, purpose, and definition, and the certainty of opulent eternal wealth and glory. But you must have the vision imparted, and if it tarries, you have to wait for it. Not tarry, but tarries. You have to wait for it. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Wait upon the Lord and save yourself time and trouble. Say, hurry up and wait. That's what I always say. In Isaiah 40:31, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up on wings like an eagle. Galatians 5:5, we, by the Spirit, through faith, wait for the hope of righteousness. Psalm 25:4, make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. That's what the psalmist said, David, the man after God's own heart. See, the just, the righteous, shall live by faith. Of course, that means those who believe in Christ will live with him eternally. That's one thing that it means. In John 6:47, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. That's wonderful. And he says in 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also, which I will give for the life of the world, is my flesh. Also in our Habakkuk passage is the meaning to live well, to live long, or to live a good life, or to live right. Romans 1:17. This verse is repeated from Habakkuk 2:4. Romans 1:17 says, for in it, that is the gospel, which is the power of God resulting in salvation to everyone who only or merely believes it. That is, if they're a Jew or a non-Jew, it doesn't matter. It's the same for everyone. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. All who only believe in Christ will live eternally. By faith alone, in Christ alone, righteousness is reckoned to faith for eternal life. You know that. From momentary faith in the person and finished work of Christ, for eternal life to hearing and believing. That's faith to faith. Apprehending, assimilating, and applying the word of Christ. Righteousness is reckoned to continuous faith for abundant life. Not for eternal life, but abundant life. I came that they may have life. That's through a moment of faith in the person of Christ. And then through continuous faith, and may have it abundantly. Abundantly. And have an abundant life. That means abundant blessedness. And grace after grace after grace. Those who receive the gift of righteousness and eternal life by grace alone and through faith alone in Christ, who continue to believe the word of Christ, will have the abundance of grace for abundant life. Romans 5:17. Much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Yes, that's prosperity. That's real prosperity. As your soul prospers. Do you believe that this is true? Jesus said it. I didn't say it. He did. What the gospel of Christ does so powerfully in bringing any and all who believe into right standing with God, the word of Christ, or if you will, Christ the word, will bring you the rest of the way into that which Paul calls that which is real life, or life indeed. In Philippians 1:6, he who began will finish. He's the finished work, Christ. The reward for humility and the fear of the Lord is what? Riches and honor and life. You got it. They'll live by faith. Indeed, it's true. Romans 1:17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, gegraptai. It stands written. But the righteous man shall live by faith. In Galatians 3:11, now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. That means he'll live on. He'll do very well. He'll be alive in every way. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by finished work, mercy, he saves us. In Titus 3:4, the Holy Spirit convicted us with regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In John 16:8 to 11, in Hebrews 10:38, he says, the author of Hebrews says, but my righteous one shall live by faith, quoting Habakkuk 2:4. And if he shrinks back, don't want to shrink back. My soul, saith the Lord, his soul, has no pleasure in him. Sitting, standing, walking, and resting in, and by faith, which becomes a full assurance of hope and fully developed love, in 1 John 2:5. Effortless attainment, urgency without anxiety, and transformation without travail. It's a wonderful life. George Bailey. The wonder of it all. See, these are the last days. This is no time to peel off, to slow down, certainly not to shrink back. You can know for sure that God is not pleased with such. Rather, he desires that we would plug on, making steady progress by faith on the path of the righteous that grows brighter and brighter unto the full day. In Proverbs 4:18, focused on Jesus, not Facebook and Twitter. You say, well, I like it, and I'm going to do it anyway. Good, God bless you. Examine yourself and see if you are in the faith. Besides work, or let me start that over. Besides work, Are you on your computer and your phone more than you are in the Word? More than an hour a day? Let that sink in. But you can't put an hour in a Word. You can put hours in your social media. Yikes. And church is a little much to come for 2 hours a week. That's shame on you. Shame on you. Anybody that it applies to. If the shoe fits, wear it. If it's too big, you'll grow into it. As your feet swell, feet and ankles swell. That's funny, if I must say so myself. You'll grow into those shoes when your feet and ankles swell, right, Jimmy? Oh, I know whereof I speak. Do you think maybe that's not so good? It's good if you're honest, but it isn't good what you're admitting to, if it's you. Do we have to send you to rehab? Might have to. Could it be you don't have a vision of Christ before your eyes? And therefore are without restraint, focus, and purpose. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Remember what he does for those who learn to seek him urgently without being anxious, who come to him for rest, who sit and learn of, from, and all about him. Like dear Mary, Martha's sister, Martha and Lazarus' sister. He rewards those who seek him. In Psalm 119:2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. Not half-hearted, their whole heart. Paul says in Romans 6:16, he says that, he says, but I came to you and you believed with your whole heart. You received our message with your whole heart. And not just cursory, not half, you weren't half-hearted, you're wholehearted. So blessed are they that keep his testimony, seek him with their whole heart. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who urgently, diligently seek him. Hebrews 10:38, this is a quotation of our passage in Habakkuk 2. He says, but my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I'll show you this in a minute, my soul has no pleasure in him. This is the actual quotation of Habakkuk 2 that we started with, but it's from the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures. Habakkuk from the LXE, which is the Septuagint. Habakkuk 2:1, I will stand upon my watch. Dan, you have a watch on? Bring it up here. I want to stand on that thing. He's going to watch. He's watching at all times. Waiting upon the Lord is what he's doing. Waiting for the vision. If it tarries, he'll wait for it. And mount up upon the rock, Jesus Christ, looking to Christ, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And watch to see what he will say by me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. You get a little reproof. in the local assembly from the Spirit, from the pulpit, and you just say, here's what I'll say when I'm reproved. I confess it, Lord, and be done with it. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, and that plainly on a tablet, that he that reads it may run. For the vision is yet for a time, and it shall shoot forth at the end, and not in vain, though it should tarry, wait for it. For he will surely come and will not tarry. Then he says this, if he should draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You wouldn't know that unless you had the Septuagint, because that's not how it's quoted in even the King James or the New American Standard. So he says, but my righteous one shall live by faith. But the arrogant man, the scorner, the boastful man shall not finish anything. That's what it says, verse 5. Who has enlarged his desire as the grave, and like death he is never satisfied. And he will gather to himself all the nations and will receive to himself all the peoples. Restated and applied to believers who must have a vision of the finished work, Christ, that is a redemptive revelation of God in these, the last days. Or they will falter and fail. These perilous times, 2 Timothy 3, that we live in, the times of the lukewarm, the double-minded, the half-hearted, the weak-willed, the apathetic, the terminally distracted and disinterested majority. Revelation 3:14, I make no apology for reading it once again. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write. Who's telling John to do this? Jesus himself is speaking. The Amen. The final word. The so be it of God. The faithful and true witness. All that he says, all that he does is absolute truth. There is no debate or question. The beginning of the creation of God, the one who is the beginning of everything and the end of everything, says this, I know your deeds. I wish he wouldn't say these things. I don't care for it one bit. That you're neither cold nor hot. Think he knows what he's talking about? He's the only one that can say such things to you and to me. I wish he were either cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew or vomit you out of my mouth. Oh, I don't like that one bit. That's too crude, coarse, crass, isn't it? Does he mean it? He's talking about something that's very, very important. He's talking about the last days, and you're missing the whole story and the whole reason for which you're here and all the things that led up to this day, this night, this time in your life. Because you say, this is tough, I am rich. Have you said that? Because you say or think, I'm rich, I have plenty of money stacked away, and have become very rich, very wealthy, and don't need anything from you, Lord. I like what you gave me so far, and that's good enough. I don't need anything else. Don't critique me or tell me that anything is not right. And you do not know rather, that you are wretched. Is that possible? And miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Is it possible that we've missed it? That we don't know that that he's speaking to us and what he's saying to us is true? Well, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire. That's pure gold. So that you may become truly rich. Gold always speaks of faith. Gold, silver, and precious stones. That which endures and is rewardable in the eternal realm. Gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love. Oh, I thought you didn't like us, the way you're talking. He says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. You can turn on a dime. Therefore, be zealous and change your mind. Sometimes you have to change your mind. I've had to, in recent times, had to completely change my mind. I had to let things go altogether. Never look back. Touch not the unclean thing. Sometimes you have to. And he tells you and shows you, you say yes. And you say, I don't know how I'll do it. And he'll say, I'll show you. I'll do it in you, for you, through you, to you. If you only let her allow me to will and work inside of. But without a vision, you'll perish. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, please open the door. I will come into him and will dine with him. And he together with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. See, some have before them, instead of a vision, they have before them sorrow, confusion, sin, and guilt, rather than a brilliant vision of the finished work of Christ, with whom they are continually occupied, and because they are, they are as grateful and as happy as they can be, living la vida loca. So cool. So crazy. So wild. So wonderful. This life that we live in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God. There's no better life, no better way to live. Get excited again. Hang around with Greg and Ty. And maybe the vision they have will rub off on you. Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Psalm 38:17. For I am ready to halt. Is this you? And my sorrow is continually before me. Or Psalm 44:15. My confusion is continually before me. And the shame of my face has covered me. Psalm 51:3, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Without a vision, the people perish, but my righteous one shall live by faith. Live, live long, live well by faith. And that's what we're here for, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it means you have to forestall certain things and release certain things, and give them away, give them up, let them go, then so be it. I'm talking about mental attitudes, not just things, practices, sins of the flesh. I'm talking about things that are deep, very deep-seated in some of us. And it's never too late because the Lord's not done with you as long as you're still drawing breath and fogging the mirror, as they say. You're still alive and well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the word of exhortation, that it might speak to each one of us and to give us a sense of urgency about being where we are, living in the last days and the last times, as all these things begin to unfold. The world that we live in isn't the world that we're used to, and we have no affinity with it at all. To be friends with the world, to love the world, is to be at enmity with you. The world is the world system of Satan, and it's coming to pass that the Antichrist will be the one who is Satan personified, literally, and the world is preparing or being prepared to receive him. And Father, that we would just be looking not for the Antichrist, but for Jesus Christ, who will crack the sky at a time when no one knows but him, but soon, oh very soon, we're going to see the Lord. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. If I could have my ushers, please, Father, bless the offering. Use it for your purpose to disseminate the word of God to as many quarters as possible. And once again, we pray that you would fill this place with hungry believers and with teeming. Make it teem with children who would hear the word of God for the sake of the future generation or the next generation, should the Lord tarry. But if he tarries, we'll wait. We'll wait for him. The vision that's ours of the finished work of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.